How do we know something? How do we know what we know? Right. This is a question that people ask. It's called epistemology. It's a branch of philosophy. People engaged in this, still engage in this, but if you were to ask somebody about this, how do you know this? How do you know that you know this? How do you know that this is not something that you... How do you know that this isn't either some kind of delusion that you have about reality, or if it's true or not, basically, right? How do you know if this thing is true or false, or both, or whatever it is, right? And the deep problem, I think, is that you really can't know if something is absolutely true or false. You have these people in the world who tell you that, like, oh, I know what absolute truth is, and I'm omniscient of it. Or you have science guys to tell you this is absolute truth, and this is... They don't use those terms. They're more implicit with it, and they say things like, this is objective. We know what is objectively true, and this kind of stuff. And then there's others who use the good, bad imperatives, which are very similar, or not imperatives, but like the good, bad paradigm, which is very similar, which is like, I know what is good and what is bad, and I am good, or my group is good and your group is bad, or whatever, right? But how do you know that? How do you know what you know? This is the deep problem of the deep question and problem of epistemology, because I think in true reality, you can't actually know how you know. You can't know, that is, if what your knowledge is true or not, in this objective, absolute sense. And I think this is why people would like to kind of shy away from asking this question of themselves. Because it's easier to fool oneself, consciously or unconsciously, into a belief system / understanding / whatever it is, when not asking this question. How do you know what you know? Is true or false or whatever. And, you know, that's fine. There's nothing necessarily wrong with doing that. I mean, there are consequences with doing this, but, like, there's nothing wrong in the absolute sense of doing this. In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with you doing that. But there are certain consequences, I think, to that come up when you don't do this. One of the big ones to me is that actually your understandings are more unstable. Now, this is kind of hard to explain, and it might seem like it's the opposite. And it definitely is at first. So it may seem to destabilize your belief system, your understanding, whatever it is. And it does at first, right? But what eventually happens is that once you start to understand the deep nature of what I'm trying to explain here, to you understand why there are so many differing worldviews and opinions and understandings and things like this. Because in reality, right? Well, I wouldn't say in reality, like absolute objective reality, but like in the world, you have your belief systems. They have theirs. Other people, and yours will differ from theirs in different ways. Maybe yours will agree with some of theirs, but and others will be disagreeing, right? And so if you are unwilling to question this and ask this question, how do I know what I know? You will constantly be living in this cycle of violence. Not necessarily physical violence, but mental violence against those you disagree with, those who did, who you think did you wrong, or whatever it is, right? How dare they do this to me? And they, you know, and you judge and you criticize and you demonize. This is what's causing this, ultimately. Of course, this is just me representing what I've become aware of, which we'll talk about this idea of representation in a minute, but and so it furthers the cycle of violence that we're seeing. I mean, what is the war in Ukraine right now but a difference in every opinion? Really, that's ultimately what it boils down to, a difference of realities. You know, Russia feels like without certain securities, it will be threatened because it has been threatened in the past. It has been taken over in the past because it didn't have certain areas that it could secure. Some of those areas being like places in Ukraine, places in other areas, like the former Soviet Union, things like this. And Ukraine, of course, wants to be free and does not want to be conquered by Russia, right? So there's this deep problem, this interesting problem of different interpretations or representations of reality. And so that begs the question, how do we know what we know? How do we know what we know is true? And how do we know what they know is false? That's a deep problem. So I talked about this in the episode. All anyone does is attempt to represent what they think reality is. And so this question again, right? How do we know what we know is true or false? How do we know what we know isn't false or isn't false? Which brings us to this deep problem of interpretation. You know, I'm not immune to this. I used to get stuck in this idea of, like, we must have objective standards. You know, we must have these objective standards. We must have these, like, we must be objective with our emotions and our thoughts. Because it's a society myth that we're born with, right? In the Western culture, the Western civilization. And there's some truth to it. We can get into that truth. There's some truth in the sense of representation, which we'll get into. This idea of representation in a minute. But so, you know, the question again, right? How do we know what we know is true? And how do we know what they know is false? I think the answer is that we don't know. We can't know. But we think we know. We and the reason why we think we know is because we've experienced / felt a certain way. And so the deep radical point to be made in this episode is actually that all we are doing, all that anybody is doing, is attempting to represent what they think reality is. You know, going back to the vending machine example that I always keep giving, right? Somebody, if you ask somebody, how do you get a soda or whatever, they say, oh, press A7, right? You press A7, you press the letter and the number A7 or whatever, and a soda doesn't come out. You go, oh, that was not the right number, you know, whatever. And you ask somebody else, and they're like, press B7. So you press B7, it doesn't happen, a soda doesn't come out, you know, some snacks come out instead, whatever it is, right? And so you look on the machine finally, and you notice it says, press D7. And so you press D7, and a soda comes out. It's like, how did they not know this? It's so obvious in retrospect, right? It's so obvious in hindsight, basically. And, you know, it's the deep problem of representation. Sometimes what you represent is not actually true. In a sense, right? I'm trying, because the problem is that we don't actually know what is true. We don't actually know what is objectively true. Assuming there isn't even such thing as objectivity, which is a deep problem in itself. But, like, we can know what the results of something are and the consequences of something. You know, like, you could, like, giving another example of this, you could use a computer, and you know that if you press the delete button on something that you don't want to delete, it will delete it. But just because you know that doesn't mean that the interface that you're using is the actual code that is being used, that actual data that's being deleted. It's just a representation of what's happening inside the computer, right? And so in the same way, all we are doing is representing different elements of consciousness. You could use the word reality, but I'm using the word consciousness here on purpose, because what is reality? This term reality is another kind of representation that's happening. Because there's a lot of implicit assumptions and ideas that you have about what reality is. Reality is objective, it's physical, it's a material thing. It's here, it's now, you know, this kind of thing, right? And so all we really are doing are representing certain elements of consciousness. And so when I'm telling you certain things, right, like if I'm telling you about the parasite, like the episode that I did yesterday, we all have a parasite within us, this kind of thing. I'm not telling you that we objectively have a parasite, that you're going to objectively know that you have a parasite, or that science will objectively know this. If anything, they're actually not going to realize this, because they're not. They're stuck in the same parasitic mindset as the rest of the nation, as the rest of the world in most cases. You know, and so once you realize that all we're doing here is representing reality, it actually comes with its own kind of freedom. Because one of the problems that we have in society and the world, really, is that I have my view, right? I might have my view, but you have your view, and your view is going to be different from my view, and we get angry about the fact that our views are different. We go, how dare you have this different view or this different way of living than me? Because our way of living, our view, whatever it is just a way in which we are representing what we think reality is. Ta-da! Of course, you know, this is something that literally takes you years to understand. Because You can listen to what I'm saying right now and repeat these words, and it's not going to be enough. You have to literally be able to see this within your own experience. You know, if you just kind of like believe me, you're not really going to learn anything from this. And so we have to start becoming aware, like, how do I know what I know is true? And how do I know what they know is false, whoever they would be? Like, let's say you have a friend named John or whatever, and he is telling you all these things about the flat earth and how, like, the aliens are watching over us and they're abducting us and they're reptilians and they're, like, controlling the country and the world and whatever. How do I know what they know is false? I'm not saying what they know is true. What I'm saying is what they are doing is attempting to represent what they think reality is. That doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean it's false. It just is a representation. You know, we need to kind of get beyond this idea of like true false. It's hard to do, I know, because we've been indoctrinated into this idea of true false. Exdoctrination to indoctrination, right? You were exdoctrinated into it, which means that, like, you grew up, you're born, right? When you're born, you don't have any critical thinking skills. You're just a baby. You don't really know anything necessarily. And then you're exdoctrinated. Exdoctrinated comes from the outside, comes from the world. Your society, your parents, your culture, your whatever it is. But then eventually that becomes something that you agree with inwardly over time. Indoctrination. Ta-da. So you are representing reality, but I'm also representing reality, what I think reality is. You're representing what you think reality is. I'm representing what I think reality is. And all we are really doing is representing what we think reality is. Another way to put this is that all there really is perspective. I'm not saying that one perspective is equally as useful as another perspective, right? Because there are perspectives and representations of reality that you could have that create disastrous consequences for you or others. Like you could have the idea that, like, I could just press this button and nothing's going to happen. You know, people say the press the red button, it's not going to do anything. And you press the red button, something crazy happens, you know, like, and the building explodes and everybody dies, right? To give you like an extreme example of this. And so it doesn't mean that there are no consequences. There are obvious consequences. It just means that people are attempting to represent what they think reality is. And you're doing the same thing. And so instead of using true false, I like the idea of result and consequence better, because I think it helps you to see the relativity, but also see the problems of certain positions or whatever. Right? You want the result of X, but you get the consequence of Y. Or you want a soda from this vending machine, but somebody tells you press V7, and instead of getting a soda, you get a bag of chips, and maybe you didn't want this bag of chips. Result, consequence. But I already know your mind is going to be like, but David, no, but there are things that are just true and false. How do you know that? How do you know that at all? And you could probably say something like, well, what about a result? Result is something that's true, right? not necessarily, because you have a computer, right? And this computer when you're looking at the computer, all the things that are on the computer, you're not seeing the computer. You're not seeing the code that goes into it. You're not seeing the hard drive, the motherboard, whatever's inside of it working. You're not seeing the absolute reality of it. You're seeing the interface of it. And so when you press a delete button, when you want to delete something or whatever it is on your phone or your computer, and you see the icon disappear or whatever it is, that icon is not real. It's just a representation of what is. That's what reality, that's what you're doing right now as well. And reality, what you think is reality. Of course, you don't see that because you've been indoctrinated into, and now you're indoctrinated into this idea of true false. Everything has to be true or false. That's one of the deepest limitations of logic, because something can be true and false. Yes, that's true. But some things can be true and false at the same time. And some things can be neither true or false. You know, like the idea of the particle or wave, right? In quantum physics, they do these experiments and they, you know, when they're doing these little, it's called the double slit experiment, right? Where they basically just put light through the slit, these two slits, to see whether it's going to be a particle or a wave. And it can be both. It can be a wave and a particle. It's true and false. And so it's true that it's a wave, but it's also false that it's a wave. And so the fact that it's a wave is true and false, but it's also neither true or false, because what if it's not a wave or a particle at all? What if it's something else? And that, what if we're, the wave slash particle that we're seeing is not necessarily real, objectively speaking, but is our body, our eyes or whatever, making sense of what we're seeing? You know, even when you're using an instrument to measure light, what are you using to see this instrument with? You're seeing it with your eyes. There's no difference between subjectivity and objectivity in this sense. There's no way of telling the difference. And so when you see your dog walking around, it's barking at you, you're not seeing the dog. You're not seeing only the dog, right? You have this idea like, oh, there's me here in my body, whatever. And then there's like this objective reality out here in the world. Physical, it's real, it's material, you know, this kind of thing. But you don't actually see that in reality, right? When you're seeing a dog, you see the dog. You're seeing it from your subjective, whatever that is, mind slash body slash eyesight slash hearing when he's barking at you or whatever, you know. Ruff, 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 you know. And so you're not seeing the objective. And there's no way to see the objective. Because even, like, you know, when scientists use certain instruments to see the world in different ways, what are they using to see the instruments with? They're seeing it with their eyes, seeing it with their minds. They're interpreting it with their minds. And so there's no objectivity there. It's not objective. The objective is couched within the subjective. You see what I mean? Like, it's not like you're able to step outside of yourself in a sense and observe something outside of your own vision. Because even if you do step outside your body, which you can actually do, it's called OBEs, or out-of-body experience, or astral projection, or whatever you want to call it. Even if you still do that, you're still seeing it from this out-of-body experience. That's the subjective truth. That's the absolute. That's what probably the only thing that I'd argue is absolutely true. There's no getting around this. Like, you know, we have this idea, this like myth and culture that we can find some kind of objective truth. Like, oh, you know, people say that the earth is round or the earth is flat, but that's objectively not true. According to whom? According to what? According to you, according to your science. It doesn't mean it isn't true. It's not true. It's just a representation. So, going back to this whole true, false, true and false, or neither true and false metric that we're working with here, rather than just saying true and false, it is true that the earth is round. Like, if you're in space, it looks round, right? If you look at a picture of it, it looks round. But it's also false that it's round in a sense, because you don't, when you're walking around on Earth, you don't feel any curves anywhere. There's no sense of curves unless you're like on a mountain or something, right? And so in that sense, it's false. And so in that sense, it's also both true and false. But in another sense, it's probably neither true or false, because both, all of those are representations of what you think reality is. Ta-da! Yeah, that's the problem. So this four, you know, instead of just having like an only true or false metric, I like this for this new logic. What is it called? I forget what they called it, but yeah. Because it kind of makes you like go beyond this binary system that we have in society. And makes you understand, helps you understand at least that all this is just representation. We're representing reality. I'm representing reality to you, what I think reality is to you in this episode right now. Doesn't mean the representation is absolutely correct. It's a representation. It's an attempt on my part to help you to understand what is happening with you and with me and with others and around you, and why there's so much conflict going on. What's really happening here is caused by this. And, you know, at the higher levels, there's a certain understanding of this. We have different phrases that we use to understand this, right? Like, you know, we all have this idea, like different strokes for different folks, this kind of thing, right? What is the, you know, there's all kinds of people and this kind of stuff, right? There are different ways in which we understand that, but we don't always practicalize that within ourselves in other moments. But if you want to stay within your illusion of true or false, there's nothing wrong with it, I guess. Well, there is plenty wrong with it. There's a lot of consequences that comes with this, which is something that we're dealing with right now, currently in society and culture and in the world. And so this four-valued logic system is kind of like doing something different now, where we're able to kind of go beyond true or false, this binary bullshit. Well, it's not bullshit. It is partially true. The problem is that it's only partially true. Because it is true that there are things that are true. But it's false that those things are the only things that are true. And so in that sense, it's true and false that things are true. And neither are true or false, right? Because what if those things are not true at all, but just representations of what you think is true? Ta-da! You know, but it takes you a while to see this. It took me like a very long time to see this. Because the mind wants to kind of poo-poo this idea, like, because it attempts to create stability where there is none. And so the healthier representations are those that match the results that you want, the results that we need in society / culture / the world, whatever that is. And the unhealthy representations are the ones that give us the consequences with no result. Of course, there's results. And so we can use the same four-valued logic system here as well, right? and so there's a possibility that we will get the result with no consequence. There's a possibility that we can get a result and a consequence, or both, or different kind, or different degrees of this. It's possible that we get a consequence but no result, and then it's possible that we don't get a result or a consequence. Ta-da, that's the other end of this. We're taking this to the next level here. I just kind of like destroyed your worldview right there. It's quite fun to destroy worldviews. You know, but if you're adamant on sticking with your worldview, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I stick to my worldview. The difference is I know what the worldview is. I know it's a representation. And so I'm not telling you to get rid of your worldview. I'm not telling you that your worldview is stupid or dumb, or that you're dumb for having this kind of worldview. I'm just telling you something that should be so obvious to all of us but isn't, because we get kind of stuck in our own worldviews. And that obvious truth is that these worldviews are just interpretations or representations of what we think reality is. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's right. It can be right. It could be wrong. It can be neither right or wrong. It can be both right and wrong at the same time. Either one of those four. This kind of thing. So when we're representing reality, there's a certain level. What that we can reach where we can really start to understand what's happening. Like, oh God. I'm actually just representing reality right now. And we can reach that level, right? And then we can start to like see the relativity of our worldview. And now and I've done this before. This is a deep problem. And so there's this possibility that what you'll do from that point is you'll kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, oh, if all worldviews are relative, no worldview is better than another worldview. No worldview is more useful than another worldview. You know, that's the postmodernist idea. And what I'm telling you here is that's also incorrect. Because in a sense, it is true that there no worldview is better than another worldview. And in a sense, because you know, better or worse is a human invention. But it's also false. Because if you don't want a violent society, some worldviews are actually better than other worldviews in that sense. It's true. It's both true and false, because like some worldviews have some truth within them. Some worldviews and this same worldview has some falsity within it. And so in a sense, it's also neither true and false, because like all worldviews are just representations. And so you can just use different aspects of different worldviews, kind of mix them together to make your own worldview that works for you and your world and your family and things like this. And so, you know, the sort of postmodernist will kind of take this idea of relativity to its a sort of extreme, in a sense, where it's like, oh, no worldview is better than another worldview. All worldviews are equal. And it's like, actually, I mean, yes, in a sense that is true, but in a sense it's not, because like you might want a world where there is not that much violence, but then there are certain cultures and worldviews that create and engender and respond to the world with violence. You know, stage red, spiral dynamics comes to mind, right? And so if you want a society that doesn't have violence, that's something that's important to have. And so in that sense, it's also better to not have a violent culture / society / stage red. Or like, at least unhealthy levels of stage red society. And so you could call this post-postmodernism. And so why this comes to the virus as well, or the parasite, is because when you don't see this point, or the parasite doesn't want you to see this point, right? Because once you understand this possibility, this truth, the parasite doesn't have the same hold over you in the same way. I mean, it still can, it still does, like I said, with postmodernists. It does in that way, in a sense. But it's not in the same way, because like when you're in this mode, the parasite can still take over. But once you go to this deepest level that I'm talking about here, you can understand like, oh God, the parasite is like, it's manipulating us, the world and around us and stuff like this. You know, just to mean that the idea of the parasite is absolutely true. You know, in a sense, it's true. Going back to the four-valued logic system, in a sense, it's true, because there is it almost seems like an uncontrolled part of yourself that is engaged in this, which we could call the parasite. It is false, because this parasite is not necessarily real in the objective sense, or can be something that you can kind of deal with and understand and become more. It's both true and false, because the parasite, you could have this idea about the parasite that it's like, the thing that the parasite is wanting / desiring, so whatever is bad, and that ego is bad. That's what spirituality does. That's both true and false, because it's true because it is. It's not bad because it's true because it's subverting that need / desire / want. It's false because those things are not bad. Like I said with the episode that I did yesterday, there's a parasite within all of us. I talked about like that these desires the parasite has or uses at least are not wrong. Like the desire to eat, desire to have companionship, whatever it is. The problem is that the parasite subverts those desires, manipulates you with those desires, and controls you with those desires. Those desires become needs because they're now mixed with fear. They're now mixed with all these different clingings and attachments and longings and stuff. And so in that sense, it's false that the parasite is, or that the, I forget where I was going with this. But yeah, like it's true because the desire is you know, causing problems because it, but it's also false. That's where it was. But it's also false because the desire is not itself bad. Desire is normal. It's just subverted by the parasite. And it's neither true and false because, of course, this idea of the parasite is just an interpretation of reality. It's just a representation of what's happening in you and others and the world and society and culture and nations. And this kind of thing. And so, yeah, I really like this idea of the four-valued logic system. True, false, neither... true, false, both true and false, neither true or false. These are the basic four. They kind of help you to go beyond this binary system. The binary system is how you get stuck. Right. And you could probably use this system on your ideas. It's like your mind tells you something, you go, oh yeah, well that's true because of this, but it's false because of this. It's both true and false because of this, and it's neither true and false because of this, right? And then by that you can kind of add more nuance to the idea and more understanding of what's happening. While also being very clear at the same time. And so, yeah, that's all we're doing here. We're just representing ways. Anyways, hope you enjoyed this episode. It was very long, but... yeah, that's just how I seem to do things sometimes. So, anyways, hope you enjoy this episode, and I'll talk to the next one. Oh, before I leave, actually, you know, this relates to another idea that I wanted to kind of mention as well, which I call insight blindness. I might make an episode on this actually in the future. This idea of insight blindness is really interesting because... it relates a little bit to what we're talking about here because you have, let's say you have an insight, right? Just, oh, this is, you know, and this insight, whatever the insight is, and the insight, what can happen sometimes and what often happens, especially if it's a very strong insight, there's a very strong awakening that's that comes with it. It can often kind of like blind you to the blind, either it can blind you to the blind spots of the insight, or it can blind you to other insights and other points that are not this insight. And so this kind of relates to this idea that we're talking about as well. And so it's not always as simple as like, oh, you're just representing reality wrong or whatever. It's sometimes it's just insight blindness. You know, this kind of thing. So anyways, hope you enjoyed this episode and I'll talk to the next one.